Amen.
Well, that music has set the stage. If you can't preach after that, you might as well quit. Amen. Wow, thank you so much, choir. And Nikki, we do go way back with the Peters family, and they were part of our church there and still there at Wilmington. And of course, Miss Maddie taught her mother to sing like that. Isn't that good? She taught her mother to sing like that. It's good to see other folks from Wilmington, the Bristers here, Tammy and Brad, and good to have them. And then Miss Sue Acuff back there, very, very special lady. You heard me mention that our church started with 8 people back in 1995, and Sue Acuff is one of those 8 people and a charter member of the Bible Baptist Church. And Teresa Richardson, also good friends, her and her husband Matt. So it's good to see all of you. I hope I didn't miss anybody, but we are glad you're here and looking forward. Pastor Bryson just told me before service about the young couple that had made professions of faith after church last night, and that is a blessing to know that. And I'm praying that God will speak to you tonight through this message. And the choir touched on it, or the song service, I guess, when the one song that God has been faithful and said, "You've led me through the fire." And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and why you can go through the fire again, why you can go through the fire again. And so if you have your Bible, Daniel chapter 3, and I'm guessing that school's still in session for some of you folks, and we're going to start at 7 tonight, so I'm going to try to do my best. There's a lot of verses, Brother Carter, if we got them all in there, and I may have to skip a few for sake of time, but everything I've been involved in is since ministry started has been Bible Baptist Churches. And I like this Assurance Baptist Church. That's a wonderful, wonderful name. I was called to ministry in a Bible Baptist Church. I served in a Bible Baptist Church of Mount Orb. Then I served in the Bible Baptist Church of Hillsboro. Then I started the church, Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington. And now I'm at Bible Baptist Church in Savannah. So I use a lot of Bible. Amen? I told the church at Savannah, if you'd been Grace Baptist, I couldn't have come down here. I mean, it had to be Bible Baptist. But we're going to use a lot of verses, and we're going to go as quickly as we can through those. But let's stand tonight, if you have God's Word, Daniel chapter 3, and these verses will be on the screen. Thank you to the men there in the back. Why you can go through the fire again. And Daniel 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, that whole list there, and go down to verse number 4. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. And so there's some prophecy visions here as well. In the future, there will be an Antichrist that will set up an image, and they will all bow down to that, all the people, all the languages, all the nations. And so this is also imagery from the book of Revelation. But we understand the principle here of Nebuchadnezzar, the world-dominant leader, the world empire of Babylon, and filled with pride, causes this image to be built and all of this order to go out to all of these people, small and great, to bow down to that image. And as we consider this message tonight, why you can go through the fire again, and you know what happened, most of you, if you've been in church, you know the story of the Hebrew children and how they resisted and defied this emperor, and how that God preserved them through the fire. And we're going to see that tonight in a new and fresh way. But if you've lived long enough, you've realized that life, even at its best, is difficult. Amen? There are hardships. There are disappointments. And part of revival is to come to the church. And as I said, a man can't bring revival, and a program can't bring revival, and a calendar can't bring revival. It has to be the Spirit of God. But in those messages of revival, the pastor or the speaker will want to not only comfort the afflicted, but afflict the comforted. Amen? There's a challenge. There's a message about conviction. There's a message of challenge to the church. But there's also a time the Lord put on my heart to bring a message of comfort and encouragement to God's people. This is a weary land that we live in. This is a troubled land. The Apostle Paul said we're going to be going through perilous times. Amen? And we certainly see them. I've heard one evangelist say, I've stopped looking for the signs and I'm listening for the sounds of Jesus coming again. We are living in the last days of the last days. And there's no doubt about that prophetically. And I know your pastor teaches you well on those things. But it's difficult. Life is difficult. There are hardships. There are disappointments. There are struggles. There are difficulties with people. Difficulties with health. Difficulties financially. Someone has said ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for the people. But the people, it was a preacher that said that, by the way. But the people are the ministry. And as shepherds who care for the sheep and are not just hirelings, but shepherds who are willing to stand and defend and to lead God's people, we know the difficulties that every family deals with. Even while I've been away here from Savannah, we had a man passed away last night. And there's just cancers and heartaches and brokenness and family issues and financial issues. And we're seeing these times are only increasing, it seems like, in our generation. Job said this in Job 14:1, that a man is born of a woman, is of few days and full of what, church? Trouble. Now, how'd you like to see that in a Hallmark card? Happy birthday. Here's another year of trouble coming your way. Well, it seems one philosopher put it, you're either coming out of a crisis or you're in a crisis now, or there's one waiting for you tomorrow. Yeah. Amen? That's another good Hallmark card, isn't it? You're either coming out of a crisis or you're presently in a crisis or you're heading for the next crisis. Such is the human existence in a sin-cursed world. We must not forget this world is cursed by sin and we're suffering the effects of that. We are not exempt from that. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. Do you know that saved people still have trouble? Saved people still lose jobs. Saved people still have cancer. Saved people have financial difficulties. Saved people have relationship issues with family. We're not exempt from that. We're saved by grace, but certainly we have a tough road as human beings, and God didn't exempt us from any of that. Job, again, is a perfect example of that. Bible says he was a perfect and upright man and one that escheweth evil with his whole household. But yet, consider what Job went through. There are times when we are overwhelmed and discouraged, and it may seem like the fiery darts of the wicked are raining down on us. Ephesians 6:16 says that. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He didn't say you're going to escape them. He said you're going to quench them. Amen. They're coming. Yeah. The fiery darts are coming, but with God on your side, with the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the fiery darts are coming, but you can quench them. And we certainly feel this way as Christians in the present day. We hardly recognize the country our parents and grandparents left to us. I saw a T-shirt during COVID. It said, normal ain't coming back, but Jesus is. Normal ain't coming back, but Jesus is. And we live in a world where the Bible says they're going to call right wrong and wrong right and good evil and evil good. And everything's upside down and backwards. And whoever thought there would be a day when they would want you to wear a mask in a bank? Oh, come on now. That's funny right there. You're going to have to. Humor 101, Bryson. You've got to teach them that. Amen. They've got their doctrine. They've got it down, but they need some help with that stuff. We live in an upside down world where kids run the parents, amen? Where society is out of order, when a Supreme Court justice cannot identify a woman. A Supreme Court justice would not answer the question, what is a woman? That's an upside down world. And we are not in the days of our forefathers. And we are certainly taking fire from every direction. There was a huge gathering prayer. I looked at several news reports today and yesterday. There was this prayer on the National Mall. Did anybody see that? They call it Freedom 250. They're calling the nation to repentance and prayer. I can't find a number. They would only say thousands of people. And then I saw one that said tens of thousands of people. And instead of celebrating that tens of thousands of people showed up in Washington, D.C. from all over the country to pray for America, the news was complaining that it was blurring the lines of church and state. That was the headline. Not thousands rally for revival in America, but, oh, somebody's doing something wrong. Church and state. It's a crazy world that we live in. We hardly recognize the country that our parents left to us. We're taking fire from every direction, most times from the enemy, but sometimes even friendly fire from other people who claim Christianity. The Apostle Peter warned us of the fiery trial, which is to try us. And he included that we should not be surprised by it. Look at 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is what? To try you. It's coming. As though some strange thing happened unto you, the next verse. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Jesus our Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. Did you get that? He didn't say there's tribulation in the world. He said, in the world, you will have it. It's coming. But then he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. That, preacher, what does that have to do with Daniel chapter 3? Well, thank you for asking. Because we're about to see some of God's choice servants go through the fire and come out on the other side. Isn't it good to know that when you're going through the fire with God on your side, you're going to come out on the other side? Because of their story and because of what we're going to learn about these three young men, I know as a pastor, as a preacher for 30 plus years, I know that you can go through the fire again and again and again because God said you're going to make it. God said you're going to make it. And so why can we go through the fire? And let's look at the story of these young men. Number one, we can go through the fire again because of the knowledge of what only God can do. We serve an awesome God. My little granddaughters learned a lot of songs around here. And my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Our God is an awesome God, she sings to us. We know what God can do. These young men knew what God could do. Look at verse 13 through 15 once more. Verse 13 through 15. We stopped at verse 7, but drop down in the story. Because they have not fallen down. They have not fallen in line with the world. They have resisted the world, and they have not obeyed the commandment of this God, ungodly king. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, notice that little g, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of these instruments, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Oh, these men are accused of refusing to bow to the golden image. They're called out. They're called out. And friend, when you refuse to bow to these world's gods, you're going to be called out. You're going to be identified. Your testimony is going to be noticed when you're rejecting the gods of this world, the little g gods. But notice they clearly demonstrate knowledge of God's ability and power. And you can go through the fire again when you know the God who you serve. When you know the power of the living God. When you know who he is. And notice their response, these men. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God. Remember, he asked them, who is the God that's going to do this for you? And they said, our God. Capital G. Whom we serve. There's another. I got to stay focused. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's a pretty bold statement. That's a very confident statement. Not only is he able to do it, but he's going to do it. It's the God who we serve. Now, he is able to deliver you from the furnace, Christian. He is able to deliver you from the fiery trial that you're experiencing right now, whatever it might be. But not only is he able, they said he will. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Without faith. They got this knowledge of their God from history. These were Jewish young men who had been taught all about the God of their fathers. They knew the story of Abraham having a son of promise at 100 years old. They knew the story of Joseph becoming second in command of all Egypt and preserving the tribes of Jacob. They knew of Moses delivering Israel from bondage in Egypt. They knew about the Red Sea and God's provision for 40 years in the wilderness. They knew about the fall of Jericho, the great victories of Joshua and Canaan, the glories of the temple of Solomon and David's kingdom. They knew it all. And they believed it. Sometimes when we are going through the fire of fear or disappointment or anxiety, anguish, we just need to be reminded who our God is. Who our God is. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Elijah. And that same God is my God. The same God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's the same God we serve today. We just need to be reminded sometimes, and we so often get ourselves under the circumstances instead of remembering who our God is. You know, sometimes, and I say this convictingly to all of us, sometimes we who believe the Bible forget what it says. We forget what it says. We forget the stories of God's power and his provision and his protection. And we get ourselves all tangled up in knots, and we're stressed, and we're worried about this and worried about that. And we just get ourselves in such a predicament emotionally many times. And yes, we're believers, but do we really believe that our God is able? These young men believed that he was able. They got that knowledge from history. They just remembered the God of their fathers. They remembered what they had been taught. You got to remember, these guys, we don't have exact ages here, but they were brought into Babylon as young children with Daniel. And now the Bible calls them men. So they're of a certain age. But listen, where did they get that history? Where did they get that knowledge? They didn't get it in Babylon. They didn't get it from Nebuchadnezzar's court. They knew the stories as children of what God could do. They knew the stories. They knew the commandments. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. You talk about situational ethics. These young men could have had the perfect excuse. It goes like this. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Man, we're going to preach up a storm tonight. I can feel it already. I can feel it already. Isn't that one of the excuses that Christians give today? Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. And they, you know what? Everybody was doing it. But they knew they weren't supposed to do it. And they believed God. And they stood for what they knew to be true. Sometimes Again, we just need to be reminded of who our God is. They also got this knowledge from personal experience. They had knowledge of what God could do, not just because they read stories of the Old Testament or the transcripts. They knew what God could do because they had seen it done in their own life. Keep your place in chapter 3. Go back to chapter 1. Way before the image of Nebuchadnezzar, something else happened to these young men. Daniel 1, verse 14. I'm going to read quick so you follow quick. Look at verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, it's the three we're talking about, plus Daniel. As for these four children, see here they're children, they're young teenagers, preteens. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They'd already been through a fire. They'd already come out on the other side once before. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to eat this meat that was offered to idols and drink this wine and this alcohol. And they said, no, as Jewish kids, we're not going to do that. We know better. Our parents taught us. And we're not going to do it. And they went through the fire then, and they had to get special permission, and they got permission and favor from that leader there, and he allowed them to eat that pulse and that water. And at the end of the 10 days, they were far better and wiser than any others of those men. Think about it. They had prior knowledge of what God could do. And don't raise your hand, but if you're in a crisis right now, I dare say it's not your first one. Do you remember what God did for you in the last one? Amen. Do you remember what he did 5 years ago? Do you remember how he fixed your relationship? Do you remember how he answered your prayer? Do you remember how he provided, even if it was at the last minute? Do you remember how he healed your broken heart? Do you remember how he brought home your wayward child? Do you remember what he did? They remembered what he did. They remembered how he answered their prayer. And how many times has the Lord worked in your life, in your family's life, in this church's life, so that we can remember his power and know that he will bring us through the fire again? Over 30 years of ministry, I have more than enough personal experience to know that I'm going to make it through. But I also have hundreds of stories of others that I've seen God bring through the fire. I could tell you of his provision, his protection, his blessings, his power, his miracles. Time after time after time, he has shown himself strong. Time after time, he has demonstrated that he's not only got this, but he's got you.
Right. Amen.
And not only that he's got this and that he's got you, but that he's got a plan. Amen. Not only that he's got this and he's got you and he's got a plan, but he's got abundant grace.
Amen. That's
right. For every need of your life. Oh, the stories we could tell. How God worked in the hearts and lives of people and made things right again and brought healing and brought answers and brought provision. He gives us songs in the night, doesn't he? He's delivered us from the enemy. And as the psalmist said, Psalm 40, verse 2, please. He brought me up also. You see that past tense? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. Get a hold of that. How many? Many. Too many to count. Many are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You ever heard the song, Count Your Many Blessings? You couldn't do it. I challenge you. And you think about all the ways God has blessed you and protected you and watched over you and kept you out of harm and answered your prayer and brought the need in the right time and the right place. You couldn't even number them, the psalmist said. Here's the thing. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. There are so many things that God has done for you that you could try to write down that don't even compare to the things he's done for you that you don't even know about.
Right. There we go.
Right. Good preaching.
Amen.
So even if you could compile a list, even if you could go back to the day you were saved, and you could write down every good thing and every answer to prayer and every way that God worked things out for you, the things that you know about, I tell you there's more than double that you don't even know about. They knew their God. They knew what he could do. Why can we go through the fire again? Number one, because of the knowledge of what God can do. Number two, because of the peace that only God can give. Look at verse 17, chapter 3. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what they said right there? Lord willing. They said, he is able, and we believe he's going to do it.
Yep.
But even if he doesn't do it the way we are expecting him to do, we're still not going to break the commandments of God.
Amen.
We're still not going to give in. We're still going to keep doing what we know to do is right because God has a plan. And we know he's capable. We know he's able. But if he doesn't want to do it, we're still not going to violate the word of God. What an attitude. What an attitude. You know how many people when things don't go the way they think they should, they just kind of give up on God? Well, God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm just going to go, you know, I'm going to forget about it. No. They were so determined and so solid in their commitment to the God of this Bible, this book, the God of heaven, that they refused to bow down and break the commandment of God. Where does that come from? That's called peace with God. They were at total peace with whatever God was going to allow to come to their life. Let me know if you've ever heard this phrase before from your Bible. Not my will, but thy will be done. You know how you can pray that prayer? When you have perfect peace in your heart and soul. When you understand and trust that God has a plan, God's in control, God is aware of your situation, amen? He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. With God, they're winners either way. With God, you win either way. What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ. That's a win. And to die is gain. That's a win. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Wait, that was last night. We had lasagna tonight. You're a winner with God either way. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. and gave himself for us. And when you and I can come to that place of understanding that with God, you always win, you can have total peace in your life. Some of the folks here tonight would remember the name Lewis Campbell. Lewis Campbell was a member of our church back in the early 2000s. And Lewis Campbell was dying of cancer. And I've used this illustration many, many times. Bryson, did you ever visit Lewis, or was he before your time? I got a note from his wife a few years back. She's out in California. But Lewis Campbell was dying, and they'd set up his hospice bed in his basement in Blanchester, Ohio. And I went down there in the family room. They'd set up the bed, and Lewis had a raspy voice to begin with. He always sounded like he was mad, and most of the time he was. He was. Before the movie Grumpy Old Men, there was the prequel Grumpy Old Man, and it was Lewis. It was Lewis. No, he was a strong fella, strong opinion, strong-headed. But he was saved. God's grace changed his life. And he had a raspy voice, and he couldn't talk very much. Cancer of the throat. And the family had left the room and wanted me to talk to him one-on-one just to confirm some things and to make sure he was ready to see the Lord. And he called me over to his bedside. Called me over. Preacher. Couldn't make out a lot what he said. And I had to get right down close. This is before I was a grandpa, and I still couldn't hear him. I had to get around real close. That's what Lewis Campbell told me less than 24 hours before he died. He said, "Preacher, for the Christian, even when it's bad, it's good." The testimony of a dying man who knew the Lord. He knew what was waiting on the other side. And he said, even when it's bad for the Christian, it's good. The Apostle Paul, again, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. John 14, 27, notice what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world doesn't understand this type of peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, Jesus said. Don't let it be troubled. You think these young men's heart was troubled? No. Were they afraid? No. They knew the God who delivers. They had peace that passed all understanding, John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what, church? Believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious, don't be stressed. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The world says you can't make it. But with the peace of God in your heart, you can go through the fire again. Whatever it is that you're going through today, that crisis, or the one that's waiting on you next week. With the peace of God in your heart, you can go through the fire again. And the peace that Christ gives is available because he is the Prince of Peace. And we can have the peace of God because we have peace with God, Romans 5, 1 tells us. It is only available through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to skip Isaiah. There's a contrast to the world. Isaiah said the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. What a contrast between the peace of God and what the world offers. The song of the redeemed. There is peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor. There's a hope to build my faith upon. Jesus bides in my vessel, so I fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Colossians 3:15 simply tells us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We're rounding third and heading for home. Why can you go through the fire? Christian, take courage. Be confident. Be at peace. Because you know the God who you serve. You know the peace that only He can give. And finally, because of the security that only God's presence can bring. This is the part of the story that most people remember. And I want you to see it one more time. Verse 19. Daniel 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Verse 13 said he had rage and fury. Now he's took it up a notch. He is full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed. The arteries were popping in his neck. His face was flushed red. He was angry. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Oh, he's not just going to destroy these guys. He's going to annihilate them. There's not even going to be ashes left of these people. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their executioners died trying to cast them into the fire. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace or the pit there. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Don't mess with your Bible. Some Bibles have changed that to say like a son of the gods. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the fourth is like the Son of God. They knew the God who they served. They had the peace of that God in their hearts. And they went through the fire because they had the security of knowing God's presence. He is the fourth man in the fire. And you and I, my friend, I encourage you in closing tonight, you and I can go through the fire again because we're never going alone. We're never going alone through the fire. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at the second part of that verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Deuteronomy 31, 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth, what church? Go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. They were not alone in that fire. You know the rest of that story. We'll not wrap it up. You can do it tonight. They were not alone in that fire. Did you know that Noah's family wasn't alone in the ark? Look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. If you ever study that story, we don't have time to do it tonight. But God told him to come into the ark. When the flood was over, he told him to go forth from the ark. You know what that says? If you're in the house and I'm knocking on your door, what do you say to me? Come in. Why would you say come in? Because you're inside. You don't tell me to go out. You say come in. And God told them to come into the ark because he was about to ride that storm with them.
Amen.
And when the storm was over and the water subsided and the land appeared again, he said, go forth out of the ark. He didn't say come out of the ark, which would indicate that he was outside. He said, go forth from the ark. He was with them through the storm. That'll preach somewhere, maybe not in Dayton, but it'll preach. God was in the ark. Noah wasn't alone. Joseph wasn't alone in that prison. Israel wasn't alone when the death angel passed over Egypt. They weren't alone in the wilderness. There was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Joshua wasn't alone as he contemplated the taking of Jericho, but the captain of the Lord's host seemed to just show up, didn't he? Take your shoes off your feet, he told Joshua, for you're standing on holy ground. Where had we heard that before? Only one other time we saw that, and that was when God appeared to Moses. He was there when Jericho fell. David wasn't alone when he faced Goliath. Elijah wasn't alone as the still small voice spoke to him in the cleft of the rock. John the Baptist wasn't alone when Herod took his life. Stephen wasn't alone when they stoned him. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. James and Paul were not alone as they faced their executioners. John was not alone on the Isle of Patmos. He heard a voice and turned and saw the one who spoke to him. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And dear child of God, I say to you, no matter what trial you are facing, he will be that fourth man in the fire with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. He said he always would abide. Just speak his name. You'll feel his presence. You're not alone. He's by your side. And friend, I don't know what trial you're in or difficulty you're facing. I don't know if you have too much month at the end of your money. I don't know if your marriage is in trouble. I don't know if your kids are astray. I don't know if your job is uncertain. But I know this. If you're a child of God, you're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone. He's by your side. And you will make it through the fire again. I was so glad to see my friend Nikki and Teresa here tonight. And Nikki was, getting her to sing there in Wilmington, and then she became part of the choir and special music, and I hope you're still doing that, amen? I hope you are. If you're not, I'll call somebody, okay? You need to be. But the first time I ever heard this song was when Nikki and her trio sang it. It says, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never promised victory without fighting, but he said he would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I want to encourage you tonight, like these young men, don't forget who God is. Let the peace of God's word rule in your heart. And don't forget you're never alone. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Thank you for your time and attention. Tonight, maybe there's some burden on your heart. And you know what, Christian?